Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're turning our attention now to Wisconsin's school forest programs. It started, I think it was almost 100 years ago, the forests are used to teach students about conservation and forest management, and the program continues to this day. And she wasn't there in the beginning, but she is there now. Lori Dads, a biology teacher at Superior High School. She is the school forest coordinator for the Superior School District. She was named, as I mentioned earlier, 2023 Wisconsin State Teacher of the Year, which is pretty cool, too. And as we talk about forests, I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. Were you ever a part of a school forest program? Did you take a class in your school forest, or maybe your kids have or are doing it right now? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234. Or you could email to talk@WPR.org. Lori Dads, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Larry. I'm laughing because people who know me probably think I have been around since the start of the school forest program, but you are right, I have not been.
Well, you're the coordinator for the Superior School District. What does that mean to be the coordinator?
Well, Larry, I think it's a little different for different school districts, so I can speak to Superior and my role here. What it means for me to be the coordinator of the school district program is basically I organize the lessons we teach. I work to coordinate the trips for the teachers with our transportation department, with our buildings and grounds, with our food service, and I do whatever I can to support our teachers who want to use our site. And in addition, I teach out there, all of the students in our district. So just a little bit of everything.
Well, I don't know how much you know about the history of this, but I found the history of this nearly 100-year-old program to be fascinating. Talk about how it all came about.
Okay, I will share with you what I know, and there may be some listeners out there who know even more, but my understanding is that this program actually started in the early to mid-1920s due to the dean of the College of Agriculture at the University in Madison, Professor Russell, I believe his name is, and there's a building named for him on campus right now. In fact, my daughter might be working there right now. I'm not sure. This was a time we have to remember after the great cutover of our forests, especially in northern Wisconsin. And maybe serendipitously or coincidentally, he visited Australia and saw in Australia some school children replanting trees in Australia, and some light bulbs went on, I'm assuming, where he thought maybe this would be a way where we could again replant the trees that we cut down in Wisconsin. And he brought that idea back to Wisconsin, and over the course of maybe the next 2 to 3 years, this was taken up in legislation, and the school forest program began in Wisconsin for that purpose, for school children to actually become stewards of conservation to help replant and care for our forests in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Part of the history that I recall reading about was the fact that the land itself, after the cutover, as you were talking about, people tried to farm the land. And it's not land that's conducive to farming, and they kind of went bust. And it was taken up by the county for tax failure to pay the taxes. And so this was land that reverted back to the counties. So then they had all this property. And then, of course, as Russell came along and really kind of pushed, okay, well, let's use some of this property and plant trees on it, and we can make a school forest out of it.
That's very accurate from what I know, Larry, also. And, in my own family history, I would say that my grandparents were part of that. They have land in northern Wisconsin and tried to farm it. And to this day, you know, you look at photos of the stumps that they had to remove, of the rocks that they had to pick out of the ground. It's amazing that any farming was able to be done. But they learned this was not farmland up here, so...
Yeah, and so I think there were three tracts of land originally in Crandon, Wisconsin, Wabino, I forgot the other one, Leona, maybe?
Leona, yep.
Leona, and so those were the first three, and what have we got now? I think we've got, I'm not sure, do you know the number? I think it's...
Well, the latest number that I have seen on our school forest website is 435 registered school forests. So there are school districts in Wisconsin who have property, I am sure, that are not actually registered with the state, but the latest number that I saw as officially registered school forests is 435.
435, which is pretty good, and that's got to be thousands of acres then too, obviously.
Yes, yes. And, you know, there are so many different ways to define a school forest. For some districts, it may be, you know, just a one, I think it's, I forget which district has the smallest school forest. It's like 1 acre. The largest is in Merrill at 740 some. Superior, we have about 720 acres. So these school forests look very different in how they're used by school districts is also, I think, different. You know, I can speak to what Superior does if people want to know.
Yeah, oh, for sure. We want to talk about that. There's it's not to be confused. School forests aren't to be confused with forest schools.
Thank you for bringing that up, Larry. Thank you. That's absolutely true. When I was traveling around the United States a couple of years ago as one of our state teachers of the year, I was struck. I took for granted that we have these school forests in Wisconsin. And again, people just wanted to know more. What do you mean a school forest? And they often had this image of what we'll call forest schools, which are becoming very popular. The difference I see is a forest school is a school usually that parents will enroll their children in as a full-time outdoor ed school. School forests complement the traditional classroom, so they are a little different. You know, and what I love about the school forest programs is education doesn't have to be this traditional, sit in a walled classroom. It doesn't have to be fully non-traditional, being outside all of the time. And I think if we can blend those two models of education, it's the best case scenario for our students and teachers in the state. But it is unique. These school forest programs in our state are very unique.
Yeah, they are indeed. And it's not students running out there and planting trees to make the forest.
No. although we do have students who plant trees now and then, but I think the big shift now is this, you know, so many districts, including Superior, and I'll brag a little bit about Superior, our administration, it has been phenomenal about supporting outdoor education. And they see our school forest site as just an extension to our buildings in the city as a place for students to go and learn. So we do teach stewardship of the land. Occasionally students plant trees. But outdoor education is bigger now, and our school forests are encompassing that. We teach everything that a teacher, every subject, every lesson that a teacher can teach in their traditional classroom. We can just move that outside and bring nature into the context of that lesson. And research shows that when we do that, the learning is more relevant to students, and the learning is deeper and stays with them longer.
Let's talk about, these are kind of like outdoor laboratories, I guess you could call them, right?
Right, right. I like to use the term I always use with our students and teachers, is it's our outdoor classroom. So, right. It's a place to learn.
So what do you teach in the forest? Tell us about you, the kinds of things that you teach.
Well, when you say you, I'm going to broaden that to include all of our teachers in the district.
That sounds good.
Okay, without them, our program would not be what it is, because they have so much ownership in the program. So when we have a group who wants to come out to the forest for the day, we'll start with a discussion of, you know, what are your goals for the day? So for some, it could be building communication and teamwork within their classes. For some, it's specific content. So I don't even know where to start. We teach math lessons, reading and writing. We have our photography classes from the high school out, our orchestra classes from the middle and high school, physics. The message I always try to spread is so many people, I think, hear the term outdoor education and they immediately think science. I'm a science teacher. I love science. I love nature, but our program teaches students learn everything out there. Any lesson that we can teach in the classroom, content-wise, or anything is taught out there.
So give me an example of music. You said the music program winds up out there sometimes.
Right.
What would they be doing?
Every year, our middle school and high school orchestras, they normally don't have a chance to practice together. But during their fall concert, they usually do one piece together where the middle schoolers join the high schoolers. So prior to that concert date, the two teachers usually spend one full day at the forest with both the middle school and high school orchestra. And it's just a way to be away from the main building where they can interact for the day. They practice their music for the concert. When the teachers have breakouts for sectionals, I believe they call them. Being a science person, the music terminology may be a little foreign to me. But during that time, I'll take students aside and we may take a hike. One year, the teachers, we talked about the relationship between music and nature and how many musicians are inspired by nature. The students have a chance to get to know each other and bond. Another visit we had was the middle school choir came out again prior to a concert, and the teacher's main goal, the theme of her concert was Breaking Trail, I believe. And all of the musical selection she had that they had to do with nature and grit, and she wanted her students to experience nature for the day. So we had a day where we talked about the Ice Age Trail, because her students met Emily Ford, who hiked the Ice Age Trail, if you're familiar with that mm-hmm. name. And she wanted her students to know what that kind of felt like. So we certainly didn't hike the Ice Age Trail, but we had a very mosquito-laden day. It was hot. The students understood what grit meant being outside. We talked geology. We talked music. We talked perseverance. And I just remember the students walking back to our cabin singing. And it was one of the most beautiful things and most meaningful days of my life. It was so much fun.
I loved it. Lori Dan's our guest today, biology teacher at Superior High School and coordinator of the School Forest Program for the Superior School District. It's great to have her with us. And I hope you'll join in. Maybe you could tell us what's going on in your own school forest. The number 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@wpr.org. Somebody else is wondering about math. And physics, for that matter. How is it used? How are those teachers using the forest?
Well, I can give you several examples. For elementary or younger students, there are so many ways that we can incorporate math. One would be patterns, you know, with very young children, just looking for patterns. So it might be as simple as in the fall, gathering oak or maple leaves and looking for a pattern in the color change, where students search for those and look for that. We study symmetry, where you could take a natural object that shows symmetry. And again, that could be a leaf or some other object. And we can cut that object in half and have students draw the other half, again, showing and understanding what symmetry is. With young students, I do a lesson that we call the Math Olympics. And this can be, we can change this for different grade levels, but I'll write story problems. They walk a trail and we'll come to a story problem hanging on a tree or in a bush. And the story problem relates to animals or wildlife that they do. With older students, we can get into some geometry, measuring heights of trees. We can talk circumference. So there's so many ways to integrate math into nature. Fibonacci sequence we can talk about with spirals and things like this. So
how do you get, how have you been able to just develop the kind of broad interest in among your teachers?
You know what, Larry? I think the answer is getting them on site. Teachers from all over seem to have this desire to immerse their students in the natural world. Often they just aren't sure how or where to begin. And what I've learned is there are some teachers who really aren't even comfortable with that setting. And that's where that's something I feel like maybe I can help to provide for them, just being that person who's there to maybe mentor or help. But typically, once teachers come out to the forest and they have a positive day and they see how excited their students were that day about learning, they want to come back. And so part of the role I feel I have is to ensure our teachers have positive days out there also, because if they do it, it naturally translates to the students. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes good sense. The forest itself, now you have 700 acres. That's a lot of property that you're dealing with. I'm wondering, do you have little sections of it managed, or how does the management or the care of the forest, of the school forest?
What's really nice with Wisconsin's school forest program is once you're a registered school forest, Wisconsin forestry departments will work with school districts to plan and help manage your school forest. So part of the idea with the original establishment of school forests was that school districts could also benefit from them. Some school districts will actually earn some sustainable income from doing
logging,
forestry logging, and thank you for that. Yep, management techniques. We earned some money to build two new classrooms on our site about, it must now be about 12 to 15 years ago, from a lumber sale. 2 years ago, I had our local forester out and we worked with students. They learned how to go through and survey a forest for management, students who might be interested in pursuing this in the future. So I think one of the greatest resources school districts have is our forestry department in the state to help us with that.
And I think the sort of overall, I don't know if you, management is the right word, but UW Stevens Point was sort of in this back, that goes back to the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, was kind of seated to be the center point for the program itself.
Yes. Yes. And I think they still are.
I believe they still are. What are the biggest problems or challenges, let's put it that way, what are the biggest challenges with a school forest program, do you think?
That's a good question. I would say, when I stepped into this role as our coordinator, one of the first things I did was use the resources that are available from Stevens Point for school districts, one of which is conducting a needs assessment. And it's just a survey tool that you administer to staff and ask them, you know, like, what are some of the issues that you think we have in terms of not being able to utilize our school forest? And from that, the information I received back, and I think this is similar, talking to other school districts in the state, money is always an issue, typically for transportation to the sites. I think other issues would be things like equipment. The thing that came out very loudly in our survey was teachers didn't feel comfortable teaching in that setting, and they wanted a person who could maybe act as a mentor to help them when they were out at the forest and to guide them a little bit. Many teachers feel they have to be expert naturalists to be out there, and you absolutely don't. You know, like the great benefit of teaching, I think, and learning is teachers ask questions along with the students, and we can always go back and find those answers together. But I think a fear of not knowing an answer to something a student might ask is a little scary for many teachers.
Yeah, I think you need, for a program to be successful, I think we need to have in each of these school forests somebody like you who is enthusiastic. I mean, there needs to be kind of a leadership when it comes to a school forest.
I think it helps. I do. I can speak again for our district, and I think that has really helped grow our program. It really does. And I think a key is both positions, I've taught in the traditional classroom as well as at the forest. And I think the key is just that working together, helping each other. I've learned as much from the teachers who visit the forest as they have learned from me, I think. So it is a teamwork type of thing.
Somebody else wonders, do you use the forest year round? Like, are you out there in the middle of the winter?
Here's what will probably make some people chuckle a little bit. The time of the year that we are not out there is right now in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Although we are right now working in Superior of developing a summer school program for next year, but one of the battles this time of year up here in northern Wisconsin would be the insects, the flies, yeah, the deer flies, mosquitoes. Yeah. But we are very busy in Superior during the winter because of the snow and getting out and snowshoeing and just enjoying that environment too. So yes, we are year round, except minimally in the summer.
Yeah, you'd almost think it'd be the opposite, but it makes really good sense, Lori. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. What you're a great person to be in charge of a program like this. I can see that from talking with you. I appreciate your time very much, and we'll get you back sometime and talk more about them. Thank you.
I would love it, Larry, and I would encourage any people who would like to start a program, reach out to us here in Superior. I'm always happy to talk to people. So thank you for having me on today.
Lori Danz is the biology teacher at Superior High School and the school forest coordinator for the Superior School District. So, and she'd be happy to talk with you some more about it. Great to visit with her. Coming up, another person it's always fun to visit with, Darren Bush. We'll talk paddling in the summer. This is the time of the year, probably in some ways, for the best paddling of the year. I'm Larry Mueller.